The Gospel is from St. John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. This can be found on page 1081 of the Church Bibles. John, chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please do be seated. Well, good morning. It's a great privilege to be speaking here this morning. If you don't know me, my name's Andy Peck. I've been part of the church here for some 15 years. My wife, Nick, helps run the holiday club, and I'm dad to two teenage boys, Josh and Cameron. And we're continuing this morning in this series looking at what is the church, and particularly this morning at the church as servant of people. And so this passage is very clear on the way that people who are followers of Jesus should be living. Jesus washes his disciples' feet, taking upon himself the role of the servant, who would have been expected to do that role in that kind of environment in the first century. Dusty and sweaty world of first century, not dissimilar perhaps to the temperatures we've experienced this week. And in a world at the time, of course, just before the Passover, where lots of pilgrims around, not great a sewage system, I understand, in first century Jerusalem, so not a particularly pleasant job. Imagine walking over a field with cowpats in it. That's the kind of job that Jesus took on. And it's the equivalent, perhaps, of a CEO in your business emptying the porta loo or cleaning the loos. It's kind of incongruous for a leader like Jesus to be doing this kind of thing. And Jesus tells his disciples, if he does this for them, this needs to be their disposition towards each other, and indeed, by definition, for those outside of their company. And it's clear from this context that Jesus is, as he's heading towards this last week, which will head towards the cross, it's also a symbolic act of his own giving of his life, which would come, as I say, on Good Friday. Something we'll be celebrating, of course, in communion later in the service. And so this symbol of the church serving people is very much taken from these kind of passages of Jesus himself serving others. And if you ask many people today what they know of the church and what they admire of the church, this might be one of its attributes. And so the Glenfell Tower tragedy, it was a church building, among other buildings, that would open its doors to provide temporary overnight accommodation, to provide a place for to store some of the provisions that were sent in to help those who'd been distressed. Last week, Helen Fraser mentioned a friend of hers who's been able to get involved because of her parish being not quite close to there in Kensington. Last Sunday afternoon, I was leading a training course for the Salvation Army Church and met a woman who was due to go up herself next day to that area. Evidently, whenever there's this kind of emergency, the Salvation Army have a kind of mobile kitchen, which is situated to try and provide help both for those distressed and also the emergency services helping them. So this is the church serving people. But this morning I want to expand our thinking about what the church serving people might mean, for reasons I hope will become clear as we progress. And I want to do so by highlighting the final verse of this passage. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And so I'm going to give a sort of subheading, be blessed as you serve. And I've got four major points to make this morning. So firstly, know who you are. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, says verse 3 and 4, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. It seems almost incongruous, doesn't it? Jesus knew that the Father put all things under his power, and so he acted as he did. Because he knew who he was, knew that this was part of his role, that God had placed the power in his hands, yet he's still prepared to serve. And so he, and indeed the disciples, discovered their identity, what it meant to be a follower of him, what that was like in terms of serving others. If we're insecure of who we are, then we will regard certain activities as beneath us or unbecoming to us. And Jesus' followers are realizing that Jesus had given his 3 years of ministry to serve other people. So as with any passage of Scripture, it's useful to take a step back and remind ourselves of what's going on. The Bible talks, of course, from the very beginning of an unseen creator who made all things, including human beings, and we were intended to have a loving relationship with him, to rule over the planet and the wonders that God had made. So we weren't created to be slaves, but to live in relationship with him. You'll know the story of Genesis 3, things go pear-shaped, humanity rebel against God and prefer to be their own gods. And so the Bible story is God's loving work of drawing humanity back to himself, of people learning that God could be trusted and sharing that knowledge of his trustworthiness with those around. And so in the Old Testament, we have examples of many characters who, in spite of their mixed outlooks and personal flaws, prove the goodness and kindness of God. So in the New Testament, we have the story of Jesus in the four Gospels, of course. So here we see a man who lives fully in relationship with God. He's like a prototype of what a human being in relationship with God is like. And so he's teaching his followers what it means to live in relationship with God, how to be the kind of people that God designed us to be. And so when we're called to serve Jesus, to serve God, it's about recovering, if you will, the original design, being co-workers with him in spreading the knowledge and love of God's goodness around. We see it in the gospel record. Jesus we might call them the three W's. WW dot, words, works, and wonders. Words, a new set of ideas that Jesus was communicating. Works, caring for others with a love that they had known from God. And wonders, God's resources can solve any problem. And that's seen in John's gospel already, as sickness and even death has been overcome by the power of Jesus. And so Jesus is inviting his followers to join in this task of serving others. It's the kind of service a GP performs. You know, they have an authority to release the resources of the National Health Service in the service of a patient's needs, if it's working well, okay? They're there to serve. They're, if you like, they're working together with others. And that's how Jesus is seeing our service. We work with him to serve others with the resources that God provides. The Greek word diakonos is sometimes translated servant, but it's also translated minister. We minister to others through that which God has given us. So a local church like this has obvious types of service. You know, there was administration took place before you even got here. Someone, you know, sorted out the pews news, printed it or sent it by email. This place was cleaned. The bills were paid, so the lights are on and the water's working. You had a welcome as you came in. There was a connect desk in case you're not part of this community and you want to connect with others. The sound and visual was sorted so that you could hear and see. People had practiced the music, which was wonderful again this morning. Thank you. You know, Kate's been leading. I'm speaking, hoping to be ministering to you, I hope. Children and young people have been catered for somewhere else. There's a creche. There's a prayer team afterwards. Communion has been prepared for us. Someone's going to be serving refreshments. And then all of us together potentially can minister to one another in conversation. Okay? Instead of moaning about stuff, we can be ministering to one another. That's potentially anyway. So, you know, so the local church has lots of service going on. And as Helen reminded us last week, you and I can minister to people in whatever context we find ourselves. We are the church wherever we go, serving others in God's name and for his purposes. Service flows from our identity as children of God, accepted and loved and welcomed. And as people who are working out this in practice and reality. And one of the biggest misunderstandings about religious faith is that Christians are earning their identity through good service. So observers may assume that we're working very hard to please God. Well, yes, we do want to please God, but that's not, it's out of the depths of his love for us that we serve. We serve because we must, not because we must, but because we may. Because we get to do it, because it's great to do that. So that's the first point, as we're blessed to be served. Know who you are. And then secondly, be clear who you are serving. So Jesus himself says this, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. So it's primarily out of loyalty to Jesus that the disciples are to operate. It's out of our loyalty to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we function. We serve people because we serve God. John would later put it this way in his letter, we love because he first loved us. So it's as we receive the love and forgiveness of God and revel in that goodness and kindness, and he fills us with his Holy Spirit, gives us the energy that Kate was mentioning just a few weeks back at Pentecost. We have the energy to then serve and to bless those we're serving. And so focusing on serving God, first of all, means that we do not determine our service by the response we get from those we serve. There's times when we may have to serve, and it may be what they call tough love. When I was working in pastoral ministry in Bournemouth, the guy who I was mentoring was seeking to come off heroin. If I'd acquiesced to all his demands, he wouldn't have stayed off. It had to be tough love. He kind of knew that. I knew that. And we sort of worked together to help him away from his addiction. And here's the rub when it comes to contemporary debates regarding the Christian faith in the public space. Yes, the public love it when the church cares physically for people. but perhaps less keen when the church sometimes declares truth about what Christians believe. Now, in many cases, of course, the Christian voice is misunderstood, and in some cases, the Christian voice is unhelpfully shared in a kind of hectoring and hypocritical fashion. But there comes a time when the Christian truth is understood, when it's well articulated with grace, and it's not appreciated, because in that sense, our service of people is rather awkward for them. Growing up and before coming to faith, I did not always appreciate being told the truth about my need for God. But I'm glad I was. And many of you know that experience of coming to faith, perhaps later in years, and knowing that someone had the courage to share the message with you, even when you didn't initially perhaps like it. Fast forward decades from this event in John 13, and all of these men would take the gospel to the four points of the compass, and many would lose their lives as they encountered people who did not want the message they were sharing and ended their lives as a result, some with pretty unpleasant deaths. The charity Open Doors estimates that 322 people a month lose their lives for their faith somewhere around the world. Some are called passive, but actually some of those are active in their faith and sharing it, and they are silenced. They pay the ultimate price, so to do. And over the centuries, Christians have thought they were serving people by minimizing what they said about the truth of the gospel. If we change our message, maybe they will like us. Like a doctor that withholds a vital truth and prevents the patient getting better. And the church's power and cutting edge is always blunted. So before you think about serving anyone, be clear who you are. You are a child of the King, indwelt by his Spirit. And you serve people because you've discovered you want to serve God first of all, and you're their servant for God's sake. But then thirdly, enjoy what you do. And here we get under that Greek word, blessed. I don't know if you have ever thought about what blessed means. I'm suggesting you're blessed if you serve. Well, blessed, according to Strong's Dictionary, supremely blessed, by extension, fortunate, well-off, blessed, happy. Perhaps happy is our closest word that may make some sense to us. That it's good for us, that we can be happy, enjoy serving. And so we come to that thorny conundrum in Christian life. Do we get more brownie points in our service if we do it through gritted teeth than if we do it with a smile on our face and a spring in our stride? I'm hating this, so please tell me it's virtuous. Hello, I'm here to help you. I don't want to be here and I don't like you, but God has sent me. I'm pretty sure I'm going to hate helping you, but the more miserable I am, the better, because God is going to be pleased with me. Is that how it is? There's times, of course, when a sense of duty compels us, and there's nothing wrong in that. But there's plenty of times in Scripture when we read that God, serving God, is a delight. It's part of our worship of our lives to Him. And plenty of times when Jesus promises His followers that there will be joy as they serve. There's that image, remember, of the guy who finds the treasure. And in his joy, sells all he has to possess it. And so joy should be part of our service. Jesus himself said, the Hebrew writer said of Jesus, he for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Hung naked in agony on a cross is not our idea of joy. But he knew that the travail of his soul would accomplish glory for us. And in that sense, he was willing to go through it. So serving people can be fun. As our heart changes and we get a sense of God's perspective, we feel a sense of compassion and care. We long to see people released from what binds them and the struggles that they are in to be overcome. There is enormous joy. Do we always get warm fuzzies beforehand? Not always. But as you trust God and he draws near to you, as you step out in faith. And we're working with God. Imagine two images on the water. A rower on the Thames and a sailor on the Solent. The rower on the Thames is working hard to row. And the sailor on the sailing is probably working hard, but they're dependent upon the wind. And they can be sat in the boat and the wind does the work. And it's that latter image that should be the case as we're serving. Yes, there are times, perhaps, when it feels like rowing. But actually, we partner with God and he provides the resources, the energy and the joy. We get swept along, as it were, in his slipstream. I have the privilege of interviewing leaders for a radio show for Premier Radio. It's broadcast on Sundays at 3:30. So I get to chat with folk who've sometimes started charities or certainly working with charities. And for many of them, it's tough and it's hard work. But you look into their faces and you know they wouldn't want to be doing anything else because of the joy there is in serving and seeing a difference made. Now, of course, that sometimes that joy is learned. You know, we don't always enjoy something the first time we do it. Our musicians, of course, playing beautifully today, but probably most of them went through the time when it wasn't going quite as they'd hoped, as they were picking up an instrument. And it takes time and discipline to get to the point where you can relax and enjoy what you're playing. And sometimes that's the case in our Christian service. I've certainly had ups and downs in the churches and charities that I've served. But I would say, deep down, there's enormous joy in working with God and seeing him provide the resources that I've needed when I've been out on a limb. As John Piper most famously put it, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And then my final point, so I come to a close. Enjoy what you do. And then fourthly, look for opportunities. If we're blessed in service as Jesus calls us, we need to be talking with him about where we serve and what we do. So I want to be trying to be as practical as we can. And I appreciate for some of you, your role in life already gives you opportunities. As a mum or as a dad, as a grandparent, as a son or a daughter, you can see your service, if you like, within your family as ministry if you choose to do so. You do it in Jesus' name. Have you ever seen that's the way that you parent your children? It's an opportunity you have. You may want to consciously see your workplace as an arena for ministry. You want to fill your duties as an employee, of course, but you can do so prayerfully, conscious that you have a higher calling, that you're serving the Lord in what you do and those around you. And it may be that you can look for opportunities inside and outside the church too. Your own desire and gifting will give you a clue for what you might best serve. You may recall there was a time when these men faced an issue in the early church regarding the parceling out of foods to widows, and they concluded it was not appropriate for them to be involved, so they appointed others to be the deacons, the servants in that role, because they wanted to focus upon Bible teaching and prayer, reminding us that our service needs to be appropriate to our gifting. But that said, we can look for areas where God has gifted us, where our particular gifts can be used. I mentioned my wife helps run the holiday club. They've been looking for 6 adults, ideally, to join the team. That may be an area for you to consider. And so as we seek to look for opportunities, sometimes there's a bit of trial and maybe even of error. We try things that don't quite work. But providing we look for feedback and are aware that when we sign up, we're not signing up for life, then we can we can throw ourselves into ministry and see what comes out and how God blesses. You might want to look further afield, maybe local government, politics, maybe the local PTA, or become a school governor, or maybe within the sporting group that you're part of. You can serve people there. And you do it consciously in Jesus' name, knowing that he's the one who gives the energy, and it's all of life is to be devoted to him. Jesus' goal in speaking to his followers and in demonstrating through the washing of feet is that they may be blessed in their service. And so that made the goal of my talk very clear this morning, that there might be blessing for each of you and for myself. And so that comes as you enter into what Jesus has for you. So that's the outcome, I hope, is that you pray and think about ways in which you can serve Jesus better and know his blessing in your life. So remember who you are. Your identity is as a child of the King with resources that God gives you to serve. Remember that you serve him first of all, and then you serve people. enjoy serving. God longs to partner with us, and he looks to bless us. He's got a blessing in mind for us as you serve, and then look for opportunities in your present world, whatever that may be, and as he directs you within the circle of the church gathering and outside. May God all help us to be blessed as we serve. Amen.